بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, today's lecture is going to begin after Salat al-Maghrib is the sister lecture to the talk that the Sheikh gave after Salat al-Dhuhr today. And I would advise and I strongly urge and encourage all of you brothers to get the tape of the lecture that took place after Salat al-Dhuhr. And that lecture was called The Muslim Woman is All of the Islamic Society. And it is a tape in which the Sheikh was given general nasiha to the community, but it was specifically addressing the issues of the righteous woman and the role of the righteous Muslim woman. So whether your wife is a religious woman who's doing her job, or she's an irreligious woman who's not doing her job, or she's in between going back and forth, we would advise you to get this tape because it is that beneficial and that important. So in keeping with the spirit of that talk, the Sheikh, now knowing that the men were going to be out working during the course of the day, and that Salat al-Maghrib will find the majority of the brothers participating and attending the masjid, we found that it was intelligent and also necessary to make an address to the condition of the brothers of this community. So today's talk now at Maghrib time is going to be some nasiha to the men of our community as it relates to our families. As it relates to our families, so the Shaykh inshallah is going to speak about along those lines. Faliyatafadda.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فكما ألقيت بعد صلاة الظهر من هذا اليوم نصيحة للنساء بعنوان والمرأة راعية فإننا كذلك نوجه الآن نصيحة للرجال فالنساء شقائق الرجال وكما أن المرأة ذكرت في الحديث فقال رسولنا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها فكذلك قال رسولنا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فالرجل راع في أهل بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته بعد أن صدر الحديث بقوله كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته والمراد من هذه التذكرة أن الزواج مسؤولية وليس مجرد متعة وإلا لما صار هناك فرق بين الحيوان والإنسان فالحيوان يستمتع بأنثاه ذكر الحيوان يستمتع بأنثاه ويقضي وطره منها وكذلك هو يأكل ويشرب بل وقد يشارك الحيوان الإنسان في بعض الأمور كسعيه على رزقه ورزق زوجه وأولاده ولكن الفرق بين الإنسان والحيوان واضح لكل ذي لب ولكل ذي عينين فرب العزة يقول ولقد كرمنا بني آدم فالإنسان مكرم وكذلك شبه الله الكافرين من الناس بالأنعام فقال والذين كفروا يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم. إذن ليس الغرض أبدا من الزواج أن يتمتع الإنسان بأنثاه فقط، بل إن المسؤولية في الزواج أعظم من ذلك بكثير، فقد قال الله عز وجل: الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، وقال تعالى: ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة، وقال تعالى: ولا تتمنوا ما فضل الله به بعضكم على بعض، للرجال نصيب مما اكتسبوا وللنساء نصيب مما اكتسبن واسألوا الله من فضله. فهذه الآيات تبين قوامة الرجل على المرأة، وأنه مسؤول عنها وعن الإنفاق عليها، فهو إذا تزوجها أصبحت امرأته في عنقه، أصبح مطالبا بكفايتها حتى لا تحتاج إلى غيره، وحتى لا تحتاج إلى الخروج من البيت، فهو يسترها ويكفيها ويأويها، وهو يقوم على شؤونها ويرعاها ويعلمها ويؤدبها ويوجهها ويربيها، وهو مع ذلك كله يرجو الحلال الطيب. ليس هو كالحيوان الذي لا يعرف التكليف ولا يفهم معنى الأمانة التي حملها الإنسان، فحتى وهو يقضي وطره من امرأته يرجو أيضا أن يكون مكرما، كما ورد في الحديث الصحيح وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة، قالوا: يا رسول الله، أيقضي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له أجر؟ قال: أرأيتم لو وضعها في الحرام أكان عليه وزر؟ قالوا: نعم. قال: فإنه اجتنب الحرام وأتى ما أحل الله له، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. فالرجل المسلم الصالح لا يستمتع بامرأته مجرد استمتاع، بل هو يرجو ما هو أكبر وأعظم من مجرد المتعة، إنه يريد الأجر والثواب من الله سبحانه بنية إتيان الحلال واجتناب الحرام.
Sheikh began, Ikhwan, first by saying that earlier today after Salatul Dhuhr, we gave some advice to the women of this community. And we talked about how the Muslim woman is what he referred to as ra'iya, or a shepherdess, a person who has some responsibility. And now what we want to do is want to take this opportunity now to address you, the men of this community, the men and the women, because the women are the twins to the men, and we all have a responsibility. And in the hadith that we spoke about earlier, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the woman was a shepherdess, and she will be held accountable and responsible for her husband's children and his house. But in that same hadith, at the beginning of the hadith, prior to mentioning the woman and her responsibility, he said, salawatullahi wa salamuhu, and a man is a shepherd, and he will be held responsible for the people of his home. And the whole hadith clearly established that all of you are responsible, and all of you will be questioned about his responsibility. So therefore, the intent behind this discussion here today in this class is to remind you all, to remind each and every one of you about the marriage and the responsibility that comes along with marriage. And that we want to try to get you to understand that marriage is not simply designed for you to have your sexual desires fulfilled. It is greater than that. If a person is approaching the issue of marriage with this understanding, then there is no difference between him and the animals. But in Al-Islam, there is a difference. We find, as it relates to the animals, that the male animal, all he wants to do is to fulfill his physical desires with the female. And then after doing that, he goes on to the next stage, which is to eat and to drink. But he is not responsible for anything else other than that. And we do recognize that you find that mankind and the animals, there are some similarities between them in their behavioral patterns. When they have relationships, the male with the female, sometimes even the animal goes out to search for the rizq or the sustenance to bring it back to the family. But in the religion of Al-Islam, as it relates to the issue of marriage, there is a clear and distinct proof that there is a difference between the animals and mankind. Allah Ta'ala has honored us as human beings in that He said in the Quran, verily we have honored Bani Adam. And Allah Ta'ala has shown that if the person is not taking this religion, then He has given the similitude and made this similitude to show us how bad it is not to hold on to the religion, when He said, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, verily those people who disbelieve, all they do is they enjoy their lives. And all they do is they eat just as the cattle eat, and the hellfire will be their resting place. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, in Islam, the goal and the objective of getting married to a woman and solidifying the marriage bond is more than you just enjoying your physical desires. So we need to understand this, that the responsibility of marriage is much greater than that and more comprehensive than just having a good time physically. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, the men are the qawamuna over the women. The men have the responsibility over the women because Allah has honored them over them because of what they spend out of their monies. And He went on to say after that, so therefore, in the other ayat after this, we mentioned the statement of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and the women will have the rights similar to the rights that are over them. The rights that they have are the rights in ma'ruf, but the men have rights over them. And there's another ayat in the Quran, and do not let you men and women desire what Allah has favored one over the other with. Do not let the men desire what Allah favored the women over them in, nor should the women desire what Allah favored the men over them in. Do not desire what Allah has favored one group over the other group with. The men will get the reward of what they do, and the women will get the reward of what they do. All of you should ask Allah from His virtues. The Shaykh said these three ayat that we just mentioned, they clearly show that the man has been given superiority and authority over the woman. So therefore, if the man, the true man, was to marry a woman, he understands immediately that that woman is in his neck or on his neck as far as responsibility is concerned. Her maintenance is his responsibility. Her being looked after and protected is his responsibility. That woman that gets married in this religion, she is not in need after getting married to going outside of the home to search and to look for her sustenance. Instead, that man is responsible now. He's responsible to protect her. He's responsible for nurturing her. He's responsible for training her. He's responsible for teaching her. He's responsible for all of her affairs and setting her in the right direction. This is what Al-Islam has made as far as the responsibility of the marriage contract. Once he marries this woman, then the halal becomes distinct from the haram. And they are not like the animals. The animals, when they have relationships with each other, the male does not know any responsibility that he has towards that woman. He doesn't know the responsibility of the amana or the trust. that mankind embraced and took responsibility for. So the man, when he marries the woman, he understands that he has to honor that woman, as the hadith told us, how we are getting honored when we get married. When the Prophet said to his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, verily when one of you people puts his private part in the private part of his wife, and he has sexual relationships, in that action of his, there is a reward. Upon hearing that, the companions say, Ya Rasulullah, you mean to tell us, if we had relationships with our women, we're going to get rewarded for that? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you people see that if you took your private part and you put it in the haram, that you would be responsible and you would be sinning? They say, yes. He said, likewise, if you put it in the halal place, then you're going to get rewarded for that. The Sheikh said, so this is part of the respect and the honor that comes as a result of two people coming together and being married. That they stay away from the haram and they approach vigorously that which is halal with each other. So the righteous Muslim man who is intelligent, he understands that marriage is not just a vehicle by which he can fulfill his physical sexual desires. He knows that there is something beyond and inside of the marriage that is greater than his physical desires. He knows that there is a tremendous reward lying with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he came and he chose to come through the door of the halal and to stay away from the door of the haram.
فالزواج مسؤولية وليس مجرد متعة. ومن لا يقدر على هذه المسؤولية لا ينبغي له أن يتزوج. بل ربط نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بين القدرة على القيام بهذه المسؤولية وبين أمره بالزواج، فقال للشباب يوما من الأيام، يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم فإنه له وجاء. فربط الزواج بالاستطاعة، باستطاعة الباءة. وكلمة الباءة في لغة العرب تتضمن معنيين: المعنى الأول القدرة على معاشرة الزوجة جنسيا، المعنى الثاني القدرة على كفاية هذه المرأة من جهة النفقة. إذن الباءة كفاية المرأة جنسيا وماليا، الباءة كفاية المرأة جنسيا وماليا، يغنيها عن غيره من الرجال جنسيا ويغنيها عن غيره من الناس نفقة مالية، والعكس بالعكس، كما أن ذلك هو الشرط. فإن تضييع ذلك الشرط إثم عظيم، فقد جاء في الحديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يعول. فهو إذا تزوج المرأة صارت أسيرة عنده، صارت حبيسة بيته، وصار مسؤولا عن كفايتها. فإذا هو لم يكفها جنسيا وإذا لم يكفها ماليا، فإن هذه المرأة تضيع، من يكفيها إذا لم يكفها؟ من يسد حاجتها إذا لم يسد زوجها حاجتها؟ فهو بذلك يضيعها. كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يعول. فالزواج مسؤولية وليس مجرد استمتاع.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, so again I repeat to all of you, marriage is responsibility. And it is not just having physical, sexual relationships. And the person who does not have the ability to take care of business as it relates to marriage, then he's a person who shouldn't even think about getting married. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected and he tied a person's ability to get married with the issue of this institution of being responsible. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, O you young men, whoever from amongst you can get married, then let him do so. And whoever does not have the ability, then let him fast. For verily, fasting is a shield or a protection for him. So the Prophet used the word sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith that is extremely important that we understand. He said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O you young people, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a, whoever has the ability to do this ba'a. The Shaykh went on to explain. This word ba'a has two meanings in the Arabic language, and we need to understand it. The first meaning of it is whoever has the ability to fulfill the woman's sexual appetite, then let him get married. To have the ability to fulfill her sexual appetite, then let him get married. The second meaning of this word ba'a is whoever has the ability to take care of her financially. So it includes those two conditions: to be able to fulfill her physical needs and to be able to fulfill taking care of her financially. He said here, if the man wants to get married, he has to know that he has to be in a position where he is enough for the woman as it relates to sex and her physical desires, and also included in that, and just as important, he is also capable of taking care of her financial needs. And the opposite goes, meaning if he's not capable of taking care of her sexual and physical needs, then he's not ready, he shouldn't get married. And if he's not ready to take care of, he's not capable to take care of her financial needs, then he also is not capable of getting married, he shouldn't get married. And for a person to lose one or both of these conditions is a tremendous sin. To lose one or both of these conditions, having the ability to take care of her physically and financially, he is sinning, because he will be the cause of the girl being lost. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a proof to this point, it is enough sin on an individual that he loses or he causes to be lost the one who he is responsible for. It is enough as a sin on an individual that he causes to be lost one who he's responsible for. He said, what do we understand from this hadith? When a man marries a woman, she becomes like almost a captive to the man. He is absolutely, totally responsible for her. And he has to give her all of her physical needs and all of her monetary or financial needs. If he cannot do so, then he's going to cause her to be lost. So this hadith is applicable to her, to him. If he does not close the door in satisfying her needs, then she's going to be in need of someone else other than him. And that's going to create problems. So I say to you that marriage in this religion is responsibility. And it is not just you satisfying your physical needs.
وقد حض نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على الوصية بالنساء خيرا فقال لأصحابه استوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإنما هن عوان عندكم فإنما هن عوان عندكم ومعنى عواني أسيرات محبوسات فمن حبس شيئا من الأشياء لزمه القيام بشؤونه حتى ولو كان هرة فكيف إذا كانت امرأة؟ قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخلت امرأة النار في هرة حبستها إذن لماذا دخلت النار؟ لأنها حبستها. قال: دخلت امرأة النار في هرة حبستها، لا هي أطعمتها ولا تركتها تأكل من خشاش الأرض. إذن من حبس شيئا لزمه القيام به، من حبس شيئا لزمه القيام بشؤونه، وإلا صار آثما إثما عظيما. هذا الإثم يمكن أن يدخله النار ولو كان المحبوس هرة، فكيف إذا كان المحبوس امرأة؟ كيف إذا كان المحبوس بنت من بنات آدم؟ كيف إذا كان المحبوس بنتا من بنات آدم، امرأة مكلفة ولها حقوق أعظم بكثير من حقوق الهرة؟ فالإسلام يعظم شأن النفوس الحية حتى ولو كانت نفس حيوان، فكيف بنفس الإنسان المكرم؟ فالزواج إذن مسؤولية عظيمة، لهذا ينبغي قبل أن يقدم أحدنا على الزواج أن يفكر 1000 مرة هل هو قادر على القيام بهذه المسؤولية أم لا. وإذا أنت تدبرت الحديث السابق الذكر: يا معشر الشباب، من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج، لوجدت أن القيام بشؤون المرأة على وجه العموم هو المراد بالدرجة الأولى، بدليل أن الحديث في آخره: ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم. إذن هذا الذي لم يستطع هو قوي جنسيا، بدليل أنه محتاج إلى النساء، لكنه لا يستطيع الباءة بمعناها الأعم، بمعناها الأعم أي المسؤولية، لا يستطيع أن يتحمل مسؤولية هذه المرأة مع أنه قادر على عشرتها جنسيا، فأمر بالصوم لأن الصوم يكسر الشهوة. إذن شهوته موجودة وهو غير قادر على أن يتزوج. كثير منا يخطئ في تقويم هذا الموضوع ويظن أنه بمجرد قدرته على عشرة النساء جنسيا يتزوج ولا يبالي بما بعد ذلك، بل بعضنا قد يتزوج بالأولى وهو غير قادر ثم يفكر في الزواج من الثانية، ولا شك أنه سيكون أكثر سيكون أكثر إهمالا للزوجة الثانية من الأولى، بل وقد يتزوج بالثالثة والرابعة وهو في الحقيقة لا يستطيع أن يعول نفسه، لا يستطيع أن يتولى مسؤولية نفسه وحده، بل قد يكون عالة على والديه، قد يكون عالة على أصحابه، ومع ذلك يقول: ألم يبح لنا الإسلام أن نتزوج باثنتين وأن نعدد؟ أول شيء يعرفه في الإسلام هو التعدد، وهذا خطأ. فالتعدد في الحقيقة كشأن الزواج الأصلي تماما، فإن كنت مسؤولا عن الزوجة الأولى فكيف باثنتين، وإن كنت مسؤولا عن اثنتين فكيف بالثالثة والرابعة؟ كلما ازداد عدد النساء كلما ازداد حجم المسؤولية. بل والله قلت لإخواني يوما من الأيام في مصر وأنا أحاضرهم، وجاءت سيرة الإماء، فقلت: إن كان الزوجات قد حددن بأربعة، لا يجوز أن يزيد الإنسان عن 4 نساء، عن 4 نساء، عن 4 نساء في آن واحد، أما ملك اليمين الإماء فيجوز له أن يعدد ولو إلى 1000، ولو إلى ما شاء الله، ليس لهن عدد. ملك اليمين ليس كالزوجة، ليس الأمر في ملك اليمين كالزوجة. ومع ذلك قلت: إنك تصور، تصور أنك مسؤول عن عدد كبير من الإماء، من العبيد، من النساء، أهي مسؤولية أم مجرد متعة؟ نعم يمكنك أن تعاشر أي واحدة منهن، أحل الله لك ذلك، ولكن انظر إلى حجم المسؤولية العظيم، انظر إلى هذه المسؤولية الكبيرة، أنت مسؤول عن هؤلاء، مسؤول عن إطعامهن، ومسؤول عن كسوتهن، ومسؤول عن حفظهن وسترهن من الحرام، مع أنك لست مسؤولا عن الأمة كما أنت مسؤول عن الزوجة، فليس للأمة
حقوق كاملة كحقوق الزوجة، ليس لها حق في القسم في المبيت في الليالي، ليس لها ليلة كالحرة المتزوجة. فالنسوة المتزوجات لهن أيام، كل واحدة لها ليلة، أما هذه ملك اليمين فمتى ما أردتها أتيتها، وليس لها أن تقول أنا أريد مثل الزوجة، ليس لها حقوق كحقوق الزوجة، ولكن هي مسؤولية في عنقك، بل هي داخلة في عموم هذا الحديث: كفى بالمرء إثما أن يضيع من يعول، فإنها داخلة تحت قوامتك. وكما قلت، إذا كانت الهرة المحبوسة في ذمتك قد تكون سببا في دخولك النار، هرة يمكن أن تكون سببا في دخول الإنسان النار، فكيف بامرأة، أمة كانت أو زوجة، الأمر عظيم.
After that, Ikhwan, the Sheikh, he went on to say that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he used to encourage and command the men to do a good job as it relates to the women, to be cognizant and on top of your affairs as it relates to all of the women who you're responsible for. And he said, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, I advise you, I implore you, do good by the women, for verily they are like captives to you. The meaning of awan. فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ عَوَانٍ عِنْدُكُمْ. They are like captives to you. He said the captives, they are the ones who your slaves, like the woman who is, and he used the word mahbusat. She is being detained. They are like detainees. They are like detainees. Mahbus. So this word, the Sheikh focused his attention on this word. He said, I want you to understand that this word habas, to detain someone, any and everything that you detain, you're going to be held accountable for it. You're going to be asked about what you detain. Don't you know the hadith of the woman that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman entered into the hellfire because of a cat that she detained. She didn't leave the cat to go out. She didn't feed the cat, nor did she leave the cat to go out to eat from the leaves of the earth. Why was she going to go to the hellfire? Because she detained the cat. So therefore she was responsible for the cat. Every single thing that you detain and you stop it from being free and going out to search for its freedom, then it becomes necessitates that you now become responsible to give that detainee everything that it needs, because you are the reason why it can't go out. You are sinning if you detain something and you do not take care of that thing. And your detaining of that thing may be a reason that you go to the hellfire. Look at the lady who went into the hellfire because of a cat. Now what if she was the daughter of another human being? What if she was the daughter of one of the righteous people? What if she is the daughter of Adam, one of the daughters of Adam? Clearly, the cat in al-Islam has some rights, but the woman, the human being, her rights are greater than the rights of a cat. Islam, no doubt, has respected and taken care to safeguard the rights of all of the animals, but it has safeguarded the rights of the human being even more than that. So brothers, I repeat and I reiterate, the marriage is responsibility. Before one of us embarks upon getting married, he needs to think about the issue 1,000 times or even more. He has to say to himself and honestly and sincerely answer the question, do I have the ability to take care of this responsibility? Do I have the ability to go into this and do what I'm supposed to do? And if we were to look into contemplate and consider the hadith that we spoke about, al-ba'a, whoever has the ability, then let him get married. There's something that we are going to find that's important in this hadith. And that is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly illustrated in this hadith that the young man who doesn't have the ability to take care of the marriage, sexually or physically, he may be capable, because the Prophet told him sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fast. So he can take care of that aspect of the marriage, because the Prophet told him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever doesn't have the ability, then let him fast, for verily it is a shield. So that portion of the hadith he's taken care of. But it's the other portion of the hadith that he also needs to consider, and that is the portion
Does he have the ability to financially take care of the responsibility of the girl? Is he capable? It's just not about sex, but it's also about being financially and monetarily responsible for the woman. Many of us, we make a grave error when we begin to think about getting married, because we find that the majority of the people, when they want to get married, they only are considering one thing, and that is the sexual, physical aspect of coming together with the woman. And they say, let me leave thinking about the other part for some other day and some other time. And we don't even consider the severity of the situation. Look at this other phenomenon that we're experiencing. A man doesn't even have the ability to take care of one wife. And lo and behold, here he comes thinking about marrying a second woman. And he doesn't even have the ability to take care of his own self, not to mention the first wife. And then after marrying the second woman, he marries a third and a fourth woman. And he can't even carry his own self. The sheikh went on to say, this man is getting married recklessly and he's being irresponsible. He even becomes a burden in some instances on his mother and his father, because they're the ones who are responsible for taking care of him. And then when you approach him to give him advice, he says, hey, Al-Islam ordered us to have more than one wife, so I'm trying to practice Islam. The sheikh said, no, it's not like this. Every single time you increase your number in women, you increase the responsibility that you're going to be asked about. If he said, and now I remember here, as I see here, some discussion that took place when I was giving some advice to our shabab, our youngsters, some of the brothers there in Egypt where I came from. And we were talking about the history of the captive women, or the right-hand possession, the wisdom of it and the history of it in Islam. And they were talking about this issue as if it was something that they wanted to do. Let us bring back the right-hand possessions. We can't wait until this time comes back again. The sheikh went on to say, as you all know, in Al-Islam, you cannot marry more than four women at one time. If a man marries four women and he maxes out on four, he can still go to the right-hand possession and he can have as many as he wants. 100, 1,000, any number that he wants. He said that he was telling those young brothers there to the people. He was saying this to the brothers. He said, so let's imagine that you have all of these slave women. Let's just imagine. All of these slave women, you have them. You have to understand that if you have these slave women like this, you're still responsible for every single one of them. It's not just about sex. He said you can go and you can have sex with them if you want. That's permissible. But also you're responsible for feeding them, all of those slaves. And you're responsible for clothing, all of those slaves. And you're responsible for protecting all of those slaves, protecting their religion and protecting them so that no harm comes to them. And the right of the married woman is not like the right of the slave. So if you're going to be held accountable and responsible for the slave, what about the married woman? The slave girl or the right-hand possession, she cannot say to you, if you're having sex or if you're with her, she can't say to you, hey, I want my night, just like you're giving the light to the free woman, to your free wife. She doesn't have that right. You can have relationships with her and you can leave her alone. The sheikh went on to say, every single time a man gets married, that responsibility becomes increased. And in addition to that, the slave girl is similar to the free woman in that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, when he said it is enough sin on an individual that he loses those who he is responsible for. So if you are the one who has been responsible for holding the woman and detaining her, then you are going to be held accountable for that. And it's possible that you can enter into the hellfire if you don't take care of your responsibility.
هذا نعلم مسؤولية الزوج. وأظن أن الأمر اتضح الآن للجميع، وأن الزواج مسؤولية عظيمة، ولهذا
هو الفرق في الحقيقة بين الحلال والحرام. فكثير من الناس الذين يلجؤون إلى الزنا أعاذنا الله جميعا من ذلك من الكفار ومن المسلمين للأسف يلجؤون إلى الزنا فرارا من هذه المسؤولية. لماذا هو يلجأ إلى الزنا؟ لكي لا يتحمل مسؤولية، فهو يقضي حاجته أو وطره من تلك المرأة ثم يذهب كل واحد إلى سبيله. حتى وإن ترتب على هذه العلاقة المحرمة ولد طفل فإنهم يلقونه في الملجأ، يلقونه في مكان تربية الأولاد، بل والله في بعض البلاد قد يقتلون هذا الطفل وقد يلقونه في القمامة، لا يبالون، لا مسؤولية، يلجؤون إلى الزنا المحرم حتى لا يتحملوا مسؤولية. وهنا كذلك في هذه البلاد تعلمون أن كثيرا من الناس الكفار والمسلمون للأسف يلجؤون إلى الزنا لنفس العلة، لأنه يعلم أنه إن تزوج سيترتب على هذا حقوق، سواء كانت هذه الحقوق بحق أو بباطل، فإنه يعلم أنه إن طلق المرأة بعد الزواج بها ستأخذ نصف ماله، يقول لا داعي لذلك، أنا أقضي حاجتي منها كالحيوانات ثم كل يذهب إلى سبيله. إذن فالمسؤولية في الحقيقة هي الفرق بين الحلال والحرام، ليس فقط أنك تقضي وطرك في الحلال، بل المسؤولية نفسها تجعل الفرق واضحا بين الحلال والحرام. ولهذا ورد في الحديث